Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver, Brian Lynn, and Mario Ritter. Later, Jill Robbins and Alice Bryant will have this week's health report. But first, here is Katie Weaver.
A gunman killed more than 50 people and wounded at least 500 others Sunday night in the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. The attack took place at an outdoor country music show in Las Vegas, Nevada. A crowd of more than 22,000 had gathered for the Route 91 Harvest Festival, not far from Las Vegas's famous Mandalay Bay Hotel and Casino. From the hotel's 32nd floor, police say, a gunman opened fire on the people below. Luke Broadlick was in the crowd. He was recording the performance of musician Jason Aldean on his mobile phone when he heard the sound of gunfire. He moved his camera toward the direction of the noise. His video shows Aldean and other musicians running off the stage. Broadlick put the video on Twitter in the early hours of Monday morning. He wrote, "Insane. This just happened." Later he wrote, "I'm okay. The guys here are okay." Another Twitter user, Austin Olson, posted a video from the same moment. In his video, you can hear the sound of rapid gunfire, shots coming one after another. The people in the crowd are lying on the ground, trying to avoid the bullets. The huge Mandalay Bay Hotel is visible.
Police have identified the shooter as Stephen Paddock. They said he broke the windows of his room so that he could target the people below. Las Vegas police later broke into Paddock's hotel room. They found him dead. Police also said they found 10 guns, including rifles, in Paddock's room. Kodiak Yazzie, who was at the concert, spoke with the Associated Press. "It was the craziest stuff I've ever seen in my entire life," Yazzie said. "You could hear that the noise was coming from west of us, from Mandalay Bay. You could see a flash, 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 flash." Yazzie was describing the burst of fire coming from the gun high above the concert area. In a 2-minute-long video recorded on a cell phone, the first round of gunshots lasts for about 10 seconds. More shots start about 40 seconds later. People can be heard saying, "That's gunshots. Get down, stay down." More bullets come again about 30 seconds later. Aldean, the singer who was performing when the shots broke out, wrote about the experience on Instagram. He said he and his crew members were safe. He wrote, "It hurts my heart that this would happen to anyone who was just coming out to enjoy what should have been a fun night. Singer Jake Owen was on stage with Aldean when the shooting started. He told CNN that the shooting was going on for at least 10 minutes. It was nonstop. Another witness told a Las Vegas newspaper that the shots were relentless.
Before Sunday, the deadliest shooting in U.S. history took place in June of 2016 in Orlando, Florida. A gunman killed 49 people at a gay nightclub. Buddy Dyer is the mayor of Orlando. On Twitter, he expressed his support for the people of Las Vegas. "Our community stands with Las Vegas during this difficult time," he wrote. President Donald Trump spoke about the shooting Monday morning. He described it as an act of pure evil. He ordered U.S. flags to be flown at half staff to honor those who died. "In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has," Trump said. Former President Barack Obama called the shooting another senseless tragedy. Politicians around the world offered their support for the United States and the people affected by the shooting. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe wrote, "Japan expresses its sincere solidarity with the government of the United States and the people of the United States as they try to overcome this difficult time." I'm Katie Weaver.
Two women accused of killing the half-brother of North Korea's leader have gone on trial in Malaysia. Siti Aisyah of Indonesia and Duan Thi Hong of Vietnam told the court they are not guilty. They are accused of spreading a poison on Kim Jong-nam's face to kill him. The incident took place February 13th at Kuala Lumpur's main airport. Kim Jong-nam is the half-brother of Kim Jong-un, North Korea's leader. The women told the court that they thought they were taking part in a television prank show that used hidden cameras. They say they believed at the time that the action was harmless. Four witnesses spoke to the court Monday. They told about their interactions with Kim shortly after he started complaining of health problems at the airport. Several North Koreans suspected of involvement in Kim's death left Malaysia soon after the incident. Three other suspects who were at North Korea's embassy were permitted to leave the country after reaching an agreement with Malaysia. The killing led to weeks of tensions between Malaysia and North Korea. Government lawyers are expected to take 2 months to present evidence. After that, a judge will decide if there is enough evidence to require the defendants to present a defense, said the lawyer for Hong. The two women could face a death sentence if found guilty. The trial of the two women begins as diplomatic efforts to persuade North Korea to end its banned weapons programs continue. In Beijing Saturday, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the U.S. was communicating with North Korea. He suggested the country had shown interest in talks. However, a State Department spokeswoman later suggested that North Korea had shown no such interest. In a tweet on the social media network Twitter, the president suggested that Tillerson was wasting his time in trying to negotiate with the North Korean leader. Trump also suggested in other tweets that 25 years of policy toward North Korea had failed. Clinton failed, Bush failed, Obama failed, I won't fail, he wrote. Trump is to visit China, Japan, and South Korea on a major trip to Asia in November. The issue of North Korea's weapons programs is expected to be an important subject of discussion during meetings with Asian leaders. I'm Mario Ritter.
European leaders are urging talks to solve a dispute between Spain's government and the leaders of an independence movement in Catalonia. The northeastern province has long considered a vote on independence from Spain. A statement Monday from the European Commission called on all sides in the dispute to move from confrontation to dialogue. The statement came after a violent crackdown by Spanish police who tried to stop a referendum on independence Sunday in Catalonia. Spain's government and constitutional court had declared the referendum illegal. Nearly 900 people were injured in clashes after Spanish riot police entered voting stations to stop people from voting. In some cases, police used batons and fired rubber bullets to clear protesters. Officials said most of the injuries were not serious. Spain's Interior Ministry said more than 400 national police and civil guard officers also suffered injuries during the clashes. Most of the injuries were not serious, and no officers were hospitalized. The European Commission statement said violence can never be an instrument in politics. It added that it trusted Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy to manage the crisis in a way that respects both the Spanish Constitution and the rights of citizens. The European Union and most of its 28 nations have not backed Catalonia's independence movement. Experts say EU officials are fearful that supporting it could open the door for many other independence campaigns across the continent. The movement's leaders had hoped the police crackdown might cause European leaders to take steps to intervene in the dispute with Spain's government. The leader of Catalonia, Carles Puigdemont, told a news conference Monday that international mediation is needed to resolve the dispute. He said Catalonia had won the right to become an independent state. He urged the EU to stop looking the other way in Catalonia's bid to break away from Spain. Puigdemont said early results showed more than 90% of voters supported independence. 42% of voters reportedly took part. He said the area's parliament will be asked to declare independence in the next few days after final voting results are announced. Several human rights organizations and the United Nations called for an independent investigation into police violence during the operations to stop voting. However, Spanish officials said the police response was needed to enforce a judicial order to prevent the referendum from taking place. About 5,000 extra police officers were sent to Catalonia and are expected to remain there for now. Catalonia, with the coastal city of Barcelona as its capital, has a population of 7.5 million people. It makes up about one-fifth of Spain's economy. Public opinion studies have repeatedly shown that most Catalonia residents support a referendum. However, the studies found they are about evenly divided on the issue of independence from Spain. I'm Brian Lynn.
Three American scientists have won the 2017 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine. The three were recognized for their work on the body's daily rhythms, the biological processes that our bodies repeat over and over again. These actions affect the way a person feels. The Nobel Committee says the scientists' work has opened up new areas of research and increased understanding about the importance of getting enough sleep. Jeffrey C. Hall, Michael Rosbach, and Michael W. Young won the $1.1 million prize for finding genetic processes that control circadian rhythms. Circadian rhythms adapt the workings of the body to different times of the day. They can influence sleep, behavior, body temperature, and the natural processes for breaking down food and making energy. The scientists were able to see inside our biological clock and explain its inner workings, the Nobel statement said. A Nobel report said that our well-being is affected when the circadian rhythms are not in balance. One example is jet lag, a condition many people experience after a long flight. Your biological clock is off when you fly great distances, passing over many time zones. When you reach your final stop, it takes time to adjust to the new time. If one's circadian rhythm is off, the person can develop disorders like insomnia, depression, and even heart disease over time. The scientists studied insects, fruit flies, as model organisms for their work. I am very pleased for the fruit fly, said Michael Rosbash, a professor at Brandeis University in the eastern state of Massachusetts. Rosbash said he got a telephone call about the award just after 5 in the morning local time. He said that when the phone rings at that time, normally it is because someone died. Rosbash told the Associated Press, "I'm still a little overwhelmed," adding, "I stand on the shoulders of giants. This is a very humbling award." Michael Young is at Rockefeller University in New York City. Jeffrey Hall was a visiting professor at the University of Maine, but said his prize work was done at Brandeis. Hall, who is 72 years old, said that he was already awake when the call informing him of the prize came around 5 a.m. Hall said he was awake because age-related changes in his own circadian rhythms mean he gets up early in the morning. Michael Hastings is a scientist at Britain's Medical Research Council. He said the discoveries had opened up a whole new field of study for biology and medicine. Until then, the body clock was viewed as a sort of black box, Hastings told the AP. We knew nothing about its operation, but what they did was get the genes that made the body clock, and once you've got the genes, you can take the field wherever you want to. And that, he said, is because of the work of these researchers. I'm Ann Ball.
For VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. No matter where they live, children get a strong message about what is expected of them as they grow up. And in most countries in the world, these expectations are closely tied to gender. Boys learn that they have to be strong. They are encouraged to explore new things and have adventures. But researchers say these expectations leave them with an increased risk of HIV, homicide, and suicide. Girls get a message that their bodies are both assets and problems. They need to look good, but not too good. They need to stay away from boys so they do not bring dishonor to their families. Dr. Bob Blum is the director of Global Early Adolescent Study at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. He led the study. He says it is the first of its kind.
There was no research at all, no understanding at all of young adolescents.
He said people held the belief that children are not receiving messages about gender, gender-based violence, rape, and things of that nature. But the study came to a different finding. The researchers talked to 450 poor children and their parents about gender expectations. The talks took place in a total of 15 countries of mixed wealth. Children in the study were between ages 10 and 14. The World Health Organization, or WHO, and Johns Hopkins Medicine Healthcare System were partners for the study.
Dr. Venkatraman Chandramouli works on adolescent health for the World Health Organization. He says poverty has a powerful effect on keeping these damaging ideas alive. It means boys will be pulled out of school and sent to work. Girls will not be educated, or they will be removed from school as soon as they reach their early teen years. And they will be forced to marry young.
If I see the daughter in my house as a burden, and a burden that I need to watch over very carefully because I don't want her to have sex before marriage, because if she does, she's not marriageable, then what do? I keep her under very tight control and I get her married off as quickly as I can.
But there is a push for change. In Nigeria, study researcher Bamidele Bello found that girls do not want to be limited by their gender. She said they want to become doctors and professors. They have big goals and do not want their gender to limit them. In Shanghai, China, girls are told they should be economically independent and should not depend on men for financial help. At the same time, girls are told their husbands will leave them if they do not do housework. This burden does not affect men, said researcher Xiaowan Zuo. He said traditional culture requires women to be obedient.
Blum says they found that even in the most liberal societies, children internalize the belief that boys are strong and independent and girls are weak and dependent. Children receive these messages all the time from brothers and sisters, classmates, teachers, parents, family members, religious leaders, and sports team leaders. The researchers also found that in most cultures, by the time girls are 10 years old, they have been taught that their main asset is their physical appearance. Lead co-researcher Kristen Mari said girls around the world are concerned about their bodies and other people's attitudes toward them. She said, in New Delhi, India, the girls talked about their bodies as a big risk that needs to be covered up. And in Baltimore, Maryland, girls told researchers their main asset was their bodies and that they need to look good, but not too good. Chandramouli said violence against women is extremely common. He said 1 in 3 women experience violence from their husbands or other sexual partners. But the researchers found that gender expectations put boys in danger too. The social pressure to become strong and independent makes them more likely to be victims of physical violence or homicide. And there is a higher chance they will have unhealthy behaviors like tobacco, drug, and alcohol use.
The study said that societies that want healthier young adults need to make changes in gender messaging. The WHO wants to use the study findings to create programs that change ideas about what is normal for each gender before children reach age 15. Blum said the researchers will measure changes in their subjects over the next few years to see how beliefs about gender affect individuals' lives. And they want to see whether programs change these results. Blum and other researchers from the study discussed their findings at the National Press Club in Washington. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Alice Bryant.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.